Welcome back to the Fast Break, Season 2, Episode 5, 155 overall. Today we're going to be looking at the Atlanta Hawks as they made two big signings this offseason, getting their number one and number two guys for the future. John Collins signed a five-year, $125 million deal, and Trae Young signed a four-year extension worth $215 million, one of the biggest contracts in NBA history. So Aaron, I know you pulled up some of the contracts. Where does this rank among the biggest contracts in the history of the league?
Now, I'm still trying to do the math here, and it's not exact because I think it gradually increases.
I believe it does.
Yeah, so, but I'll just, if we divide it by four, because it's 4 years, 215, it's about $53 million a year. Right now, again, these contracts increase over time. I believe the last year he's around 60. Right now, Curry's getting 45, Harden's getting 44, John Wall's getting 44, and Westbrook's getting 44. Those are the four biggest. I'm going to keep scrolling down and try to see more. But, I mean, Kevin Durant re-signed with the Nets a couple days ago, and it was 4 years, 194. So the fact that Trae Young, I will mention again, was not an All-Star last year, is getting more than Kevin Durant. Like, granted, they had to do it. I have the rest up now. KD's getting 42 a year. LeBron's at 41 a year. Giannis is at 39 a year. Dame's at 39 a year. Etc. around that range. Kawhi just resigned for around 36 a year. And then you have Trae Young getting like 60 a year towards the end, 53 on average. It's just a massive deal. I can't blame the Hawks. They need Trae to resign. He was amazing. He's an upcoming superstar who's incredible and can make the Hawks a team to have title hopes down the line. But it cannot be it's just incredible how big it is.
Yeah, well, I'm going to mention 2K, and it's going to be two straight episodes. If you look at 2K in my league and just go like 10, 12 years down the line based off salary cap math and inflation, they estimate like the max deals, guys are getting 80, $85 million a year by 2030, 2031. So we're getting pretty close to that. I mean, if he'll get $60 million in 2024, it'll just keep going up. I mean, I think Curry will get 50. His last year of his deal is $55 million in his new deal. So most of these guys, their agents have negotiated to where it increases because they think the salary cap will continue to boost up. I think it's we mentioned some of these teams, even if you don't want to spend that money, you're going to have to because you want to bring these guys back for your team and somewhere you got to spend the money to contend.
I mean, I believe I don't have the per year numbers. Curry got the same contract as Trae Young. I saw that earlier. So whatever Curry's is at the end, he re-signed this year. If it's 55, that must be what Trae's is at the end. But he's now tied for the biggest contract in the league. Was not an All-Star last year. And I think that this Hawks team, however, they're really good. I mean, they made it to the Eastern Conference Finals last year. They have Trae Young. Then you got John Collins, who we'll talk about in a second here. They got Clint Capella, DeAndre Hunter, Gallinari, Bogdanovich, Lou Williams, DeLon Wright, who didn't play at all last year, Kongwu, Kevin Herter down the line. Got a lot of young guys, got a couple veterans here. And they were really good. So it's a big contract, but he's the star. He's going to be an all-star. I don't think he'll ever miss an all-star game again. I think that he's that good that he'll probably make some All-NBA teams soon. And, I mean, we have to admit, pretty soon, LeBron, who knows if he wants to play a year with Bronny or something, but he's like 36. KD is like 33. Eventually, there's going to be a new wave of stars. And Trae Young and Luka Doncic are always going to be connected based on their draft, but they're also two of the best upcoming stars. And Trae was the first one to get a contract here.
Yeah, and Clint Capella, it seems like he's been in the league for 10 years. He just turned 27, so he's statistically, he's still one of the better rebounders. He will give you a double-double most nights. I think he's the right center for this team. John Collins is a little inconsistent, but if you look at the bench and some of the role players, this is one of the deepest teams in the NBA. Keep in mind, they're all very young. DeAndre Hunter, a really good 3-and-D guy. Kongwu, I know, was your Rookie of the Year pick at the beginning of last year. I think he's still got a ton of room to grow. They had Chris Dunn, they had DeLon Wright, who didn't play much due to injury, but are two solid guards off the bench. They got shooters in Gallinari, Herter, Bogdanovich. This team pretty much checks every box. And now you lock up your two your two stars, I guess you could say. John Collins could be a future all-star. I think this team's got a very bright future ahead.
I mean, the only question is their youth and their fit, I guess. I mean, they're young. They don't have a ton of experience, but they've made it to the Eastern Conference Finals. Like, I guess that's experience. Granted, the East is going to be maybe not better, but there's tougher opponents. You have the Bucks off of a championship run. You've obviously got the Nets being the favorites. So I think that they locked up their two young guys here, John Collins, the other. It was also maybe a little bigger than he deserved, but I think that it's fair. And at 18 points a game last year, at what, 22 years old, something like that, I'm assuming. It was 18 points per game and he's 23. Like that's really good. That's all-star potential. And I think that with two young all-stars plus one of the top five bigs in the league, it's impossible to see them not making another run in the next couple of years.
Yeah, and some of these young guys, they've kind of been just like thrown into the fire and trained through tough situations. I mean, game 7 at Philadelphia last year, raucous crowd, Trae Young didn't play good, and you have Kevin Huerter stepping up off the bench, scoring 30 points to win the series for you. Danilo Gallinari, 8-10 years ago, was option 1B on playoff teams that made the Western Conference semifinals. And then you've obviously got your star in Trae Young on this team. They might seem inexperienced. They've got one of the best coaches in the NBA, in my opinion, Nate McMillan. I think this team really could make some runs in the next few years. I'm not sure they beat the Nets in the next 2-3 years, but in the future, this could be a team that wins a title or two if the core sticks together.
Yeah, I mean, a title is probably a while down the line. I mean, the Nets are so dominant, and they're going to be together for the next 2 or 3 years, but maybe they can sneak through a year. You mentioned Nate McMillan. Seems like it was an excellent hire, the correct hire. And with all these guys, I can't see it. I can't see it falling apart necessarily. But at the same time, I mean, I'll jump to my ceiling and floor. You can tell me yours. But I can see them losing in the first round again just because of all the other teams in the East. And it's not going to be super easy to – it's the East is always the lesser conference. We know how good the West is this year. But it's not a cakewalk. I mean, the Bulls are back into – consideration for winning a first round series, which they haven't been in for a long time. You got all the same good teams. Who knows what's happening with the Sixers, but I mean, they could still win a series. So I can't see them winning the finals either. So that's just kind of where I am with them. They're very good. They have a lot of promise, probably the best young core in the league, but I can't see them winning the finals. And I'm not sure if this will be their year necessarily.
Yeah, so I'm almost positive they'll win a playoff series. So my floor is going to be more of a seed line. Keep in mind, last year before they fired Lloyd Pierce and Brett McMillan, they were 14-21 and were the 11th seed in the East, I believe. So I could see them finishing as low as the 6th seed, but I think they'll win a playoff series. And I think their ceiling this year is, again, the Eastern Conference Finals. I think it's more likely, though, that they win a playoff series and get bounced by either the Bucks or the Nets in round two.
Yeah, if you want to talk kind of seeding as far as their win total, I mean, I can see this team getting like 2-3 seed. Like, I think we have to hand the 1 seed to the Nets. The Bucks are always amazing in the regular season. But after that, like, it's always kind of been a big 3 of Nets, Bucks, Sixers, at least the past 2 years. The Sixers, like, are in shambles. We could have a whole episode about that. I mean, we were certain Simmons was getting traded. Their best player turned on him, and the coach said, I don't think it will work out. And yet he's still on the team. And if I'm being honest, I think he'll play at least 1 game for the Sixers next year. I have no clue what's going on there. The Hawks might be the 3rd best team in the East, which is crazy to imagine after halfway through last year, they weren't even in the play-in tournament. So maybe just in. So we'll have to see what happens. I think that they have – really high ceiling regular season wise. It's just how good the East is. I'm not sure this is one of the title contenders.
Yeah, I agree with that. And even if they get to the NBA Finals, I think there are 8 teams in the West that could beat them probably.
Yeah.
But interesting about the Sixers. I just want to talk about them. We don't have anything lined up since it's already a shorter episode. I was in the Summer League last night, and one commentator brought up, there's never been this much arguing about giving up prospects for a guy that's been on the All-NBA team 3 straight years, and that's considered by many guys in the league to be a top 10 player. But because there's one hole in his game, which is not really important, there are guys that you don't teams don't want him, and even his own team is looking to give to get anything for him.
Let's talk about who was the last young All-NBA player who was on the trade block or who even got traded. Like, how young was Kyrie Irving when he got traded from the Cavs? Like, he was the last All-Star to really get a blockbuster deal.
He was 27 and he forced his way out. Ben Simmons, exactly. Seems like he wants to stay, and like it seems like a guy with this much upside, it seems like there are more teams that don't want him than teams that want him.
This never happens. You never get a young guy like this. Rookie of the year just a couple years ago, and he still was in the All-Star game last year. Like, this isn't a bum. Like, he just you think he is, but he just had a bad year, wasn't good in the playoffs. And it's not going to work with the Sixers, but he just has a lot of promise. It's interesting that it's just not working out.
Yeah, and I mean, we've seen everybody giving the Sixers credit about all this drafting and trusting the process. If they decide no more on Ben Simmons, that'll be two failed point guards they drafted back-to-back years in Ben Simmons and Markelle Fultz. So, I mean, they got the Embiid pick right, although I still question his ability to be able to be the number one star and lead a team. I don't think it's talked about how he kind of blew that MVP race last year. I thought it was definitely his half of the year, and then by the end, he was third or fourth. That team's got major questions. I think the Hawks, in my opinion, are definitely ahead of them if we're making an Eastern Conference power rankings, but we'll see how the East shapes out.
Yeah, I think that Daryl Morey's just not willing to sell cheap. There's probably teams that have given them offers. I saw an article saying Daryl Morey can either make a 100%, he's 100% sure he can trade CJ McCollum for Ben Simmons, but there's a 25% that he can maybe get Damian Lillard a little down the way once he's available to be traded. So he's just waiting to see if there's a possibility of a star. Obviously, the Sixers would have to package in a couple more guys. That's not a straight trade, but there's a couple offers, I think, on the table that have been leaked that there's possibilities of. It's just he has to wait for the best possible value.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. It'll be interesting. I don't think it'll ever really come out as like the Harden deal did, where we knew for weeks James Harden was probably going to end up in Brooklyn. And I don't know. It looked like he was going to Golden State, Ben Simmons, but we're not sure what's going to happen. But I think that'll wrap up today's episode. We're going to do kind of the same thing tomorrow, but with the Chicago Bulls, as they made quite a few important moves too. So we'll be back then. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.